Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to The Whisker Report. We're a new podcast dedicated to helping anyone in the pet industry, whether you're an animal welfare or a for-profit pet company, get some PR and buzz for your nonprofit or business. Hello, everyone. I'm Mary Tan, the host of the show and the owner of Whisker Media, a pet public relations firm whose mission is to help pet startups and animal rescues. Also joining us is our fabulous producer, Mark Winter of Pet Life Radio, who gets us to you each and every week. Hey, Mark, how are ya?
Good. Hey, Mary. I see Alex is gone this week somewhere.
Yes. Alex on is also normally joining us, but she unfortunately is not feeling well today. So I'm kind of solo today.
I heard that through the grapevine that you're going to make an appearance with Franklin at the Virginia Cat Festival.
Yes, in November, I will be at the Virginia Cat Festival, and it will be so much fun. If you haven't been to that show, it's a brand new show, and it's kind of like, I would say, the CatCon of the East Coast. You know, last year was their first year, and they sold out before the show even started, and this year, they're on their way to doing the thing that again, and they are on their way to all their tickets selling out. So come on over. I'll be there working with the Cat Writers Association and also doing some PR for the show. And so I'm super excited. And Franklin Delano Tan, also known as Mr. President, will be there as well. So come and join us, and you can check out their website, Virginia Cat Festival, and you can get tickets there. But we're really honored to be part of Pet Life Radio. And we today are super lucky, because we have Corey Stoutenberg, who is the Director of Public Relations and Research Marketing at the American Pet Products Association, which is the country's leading trade association for the pet industry. Its members include major pet manufacturing corporations, independent pet specialty retailers, pet service providers, influencers, and many more. Welcome, Corey. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So tell us how you got hooked up with the American Pet Products Association.
So I think it was just a little bit of an alignment of the universe. I used to work in private and corporate events, and I loved my job, but it started feeling very transactional. And I think something that everyone can attest to working in the pet industry is that at the end of the day, we're all here because we love our pets. And so something in me was telling me I needed a change. And I just had it in my mind. I was like, if I can just work for something related to pets, I think I would be a much happier person. And so this job kind of fell into my lap. And next thing you know, I'm here in the industry and I'm here to stay. So it's been 8 years at APA, and it's been the best transition into this industry that anyone could ask for in their career. So it was just kind of an alignment of the universe.
That is amazing. And, you know, every year, APPA is responsible for a lot of amazing statistics. And every year, the industry keeps growing and growing. And how has that affected you?
I really think it speaks to everyone's just passion for pets. And I love to tell stories about how pets are really transforming people's lives. And I think we can speak to just the emotional bonds that owners have with their pets. And that really speaks to how the resiliency of this industry. And so the data really supports how people really prioritize pet ownership for both their mental health, their physical health, and the data speaks volumes to that.
And do you think there's more and more people going into the pet industry in terms of enterprising new products and innovation?
Absolutely. I think a lot of a common theme you see among products is pet owners who had a problem and wanted to find a solution that worked for them and their pet. And so I love hearing the stories, especially behind smaller businesses, about how people had nothing to do with the pet industry. They got a dog that had anxiety, or they needed a solution to a problem that they had. And next thing you know, they're developing a product and they're entering this industry and fulfilling really creative needs for pet parents. I think what's most exciting is that we're not just bettering the lives of pets in terms of products, but also the people that care for them. And so there's so many interesting success stories with small brands coming in and really changing the landscape about what pet care looks like.
Yeah. You know, I know like the APPA is responsible for Global Pet Expo, which is like the biggest trade show, am I correct, in the United States. What are some of the things, like what can the APPA provide a small manufacturer? How can they use your resources best?
There's a few different options. Obviously, we have our annual event where we're gathering pet product manufacturers, retailers, media influencers for 3 really concentrated days of networking and business development. And I think in that time period, there's a lot that even small brands can do. A lot of our media opportunities, for example, are included in your benefits at exhibiting at Global Pet Expo. So we've got our media and influencer lists. So there's plenty of outreach and networking that brands can do ahead of the show to connect with the right media and influencers that make sense for their business. And there's opportunities outside of just direct, you know, sales and networking with retailers where they can meet and network and build potential partnerships with influencers. One big shift we've had over the last few years is the volume of influencer attendance. We're really trying to bring more opportunities for exposure for brands, especially smaller brands who maybe don't have large marketing budgets to connect with influencers year-round, but we create opportunities at the show where that networking can really benefit their product and their brand. And outside of that, we offer many education opportunities. We have the Pet Summit that also happens the same week as Global Pet Expo. So it's a great opportunity to bring more of your team, like your marketers and your insights people, to get more industry education and expand your professional development while you're at Global Pet Expo. And then our research is a big portion of what is a really great benefit to pet businesses. Every year we produce the National Pet Owner Survey, and we break that up into 4 reports that come out quarterly across different segments of the industry. So we've got our shopping and consumer behaviors, and then we've got reports for each type of pet. And so these research reports are really great for members to dive into the trends, understand the stories and the motivations behind what pet owners are looking for, what they're buying, how they're caring for their pets, and really using that to help leverage business decisions going forward in terms of product development, sales, and marketing strategies. So there's a lot of really great resources to help your business foundationally as a pet brand.
You know what I'm really excited about, Corey, and you know this, but you guys labeled this the year of the cat,
yes,
right? Like cats and cat products and cat owners are in. There's more cat dads than ever. I think from what I read, dog ownership's kind of flat, but cat is where the product innovation is. How can a cat company use this information?
The opportunities are endless here. I think what's really exciting, as you said, is from 2023 to 2024, we saw a 23% increase in cat ownership, which is amazing. I think people are really starting to see cats as real companion animals, people taking their cats out of the homes on adventures, people really elevating their cat ownership, very similar to dog ownership. Where we see a lot of that big bump, like you said, is the rise of the cat dad, which I think is really exciting. And that can really shift marketing strategies and product innovation in terms of the types of products that men might be looking for are different. It's different marketing strategies. You've got a completely different audience and network. And so you can really expand who you're speaking to. You know, we saw a lot of cat moms have been very popular and a big topic of conversation over the past couple years, but now we've got the cat dad, and it's a completely different demographic. And so really looking at how your audience is changing and expanding, and maybe how their product needs might be different. And so it creates a lot of interesting opportunities for brands to tap into a whole new market.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, one thing I did recently was there was a little cat rescue here in Minnesota, and they were promoting a fundraiser. And one thing I did was I actually added some of your statistics about cat ownership into the press release. You know, I said the American Pet Product Association says, you know, cat ownership is on the rise. And when you pitch that to the mainstream media, they really love, they want that data, right? They want that facts. I mean, how many times, Corey, have reporters reached out to you and said, you know, can we have your research? Can we have your numbers? And I feel like it's not just then a super fluffy story about cat rescue, but it adds some meat and like hard news to it. And so that's where I think your research is phenomenal. And you guys are the only ones that do that kind of research. Am I correct?
Yeah. So we have been producing, I don't want to misquote, but it's been several decades we've been producing this survey, the National Pet Owner Survey. Recently, I think in 2023, we started producing it annually instead of biennially. So it's been really exciting to see, really dial in to really even just micro shifts from year to year to see kind of where products are becoming more popular or where different shopping behaviors are shifting. And generational trends are a really exciting topic right now. You look at Gen Z, who's taking over pet ownership. They're coming into pet ownership at a much younger age than other generations. It seems to be a priority for them as they enter adulthood. And so there's just really interesting and compelling stories that I think brands want to tell in terms of that support their product development. And then also that media are really interested in seeing culturally how pets have really been adopted as part of the family. They're not just companion animals. They're a child, a brother or sister. You know, I've got like my family dog who's like, she's like my sister dog, you know? And I think that it really just really is an interesting cultural shift in terms of how people approach the care for their pets.
Oh, yeah, definitely. For our overseas pet product manufacturers, is there anything out there for like other countries?
Our is exclusively for U.S. pet ownership. Off the top of my head, I don't know internationally kind of what sort of pet ownership trends might be able to refer to. But even our international members find a lot of value in our data reports, especially if they're trying to enter U.S. markets or looking to grow in U.S. markets. Our reports end up being very valuable to our international members as well, who are really trying to penetrate the U.S. pet market.
Oh, I bet. We represent companies that are trying to launch their products in the U.S. So you must be like, do you get a lot of requests for PR, like resources to help these companies when they try to market in the U.S.?
So our members receive, depending on the tier of membership, can receive either all reports complimentary or reports at a discounted price. Our State of the Industry report, which goes into economic impact of the industry, consumer shopping trends, and things like that, and generational trends, is all complimentary to our members. So they're able to go into their portal and access these insights at the click of a few buttons to be able to leverage an over 200-page report immediately to start working on their, you know, market strategy for U.S. So that's something that's easily accessible to our members. That's a really great value for them included in their membership.
All right. Well, this is so fascinating. We're here with Corey Stoutenberg of the American Pet Products Association. We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about influencers.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Corey of the American Pet Products Association. Corey, let's switch into influencers. How should pet brands work with them?
So I think, especially for brands who maybe don't have as much experience working with influencers, Global Pet Expo is a great place for them to start. That's where you'll be able to meet people in person and really start building one-on-one relationships with influencers. We have our registered influencer list that's given out for free to all of our exhibitors. They can download it in real time as they're preparing for their show and use that to start outreach ahead of the show, set up meetings while they're at the show, and also just get a sense of the types of influencers that are going to be there and who they might want to work with. So it creates free networking opportunities for them to meet with any and all types of influencers. We've got obviously a lot of dog and cat influencers. We've even had a rabbit influencer at the show. I mean, there's really quite a range available. And so my biggest suggestion to brands is to really consider investing in bringing more than just your sales team to Global Pet Expo. There's a lot of value in bringing your marketing team, whether that's your, if you have someone who works directly with influencer marketing on your team, or if you have a social media person who's familiar working with influencers. That is my biggest suggestion for brand, is making sure you have someone available who knows how to talk and network with influencers and understands what your strategy is in terms of influencer marketing.
And can you tell us a little bit, I've had questions, how does APPA vet the influencers?
So we have a qualification process. We have a minimum follower requirement of 10,000. They have to have an engagement rate between 1.5 and 2%. And they have to be either actively talking about promoting products, the pet industry, pet products and brands and things like that. So we're really looking to make sure that the quality and the level of influencers is at a caliber that our brands want to work with. So we're vetting everyone that's coming in the door and making sure that we're delivering a quality experience for both the influencers and the brands.
So can you tell us, like, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see pet brands make when working with influencers or the media?
I would say it's not a mistake, but the biggest suggestion is that if you do not have your marketing team there, is to make sure that your sales team is at least prepared with a few lines or just an intro and information that is relevant to influencers. So even if your sales team is not necessarily equipped or available to talk to influencers and media, making sure that they understand that there is a media and influencer presence there and what information they should have, either it's contact information for someone that's available back at the office, or some sort of, you know, one page about your brand, or a few sentences that can really at least pitch an idea about what your brand is to influencers. So just making sure that your sales team is equipped and prepared to at least be able to have a quick introduction with media and influencers, for sure.
And then in terms of giving product samples to influencers and media, what would you suggest? Like, just hand them the product, or would you suggest a media kit or a swag bag filled of, you know, branded merchandise from the company?
I think it's really up to the discretion of the brand, you know, depending on budget and what aligns with their strategy for the show. My suggestion at a minimum is at least to have an area or a product set aside that they could test at the show. So even if you don't have the budget to send them home with a swag bag or samples, at least have something available where they can test out the product, get a feel for it. More than likely, they have their pet with them there, so they'll want to see how their pet likes the product, how it works. More often than not, they're capturing content in real time to share with their audience while they're at the show. So just giving them an opportunity to talk about the product and test it out, even if they're not taking it home with them, I think is really great value, because you've got that organic interaction with the influencer, and therefore you have their entire audience at your disposal as well. So that's my biggest suggestion, is just being prepared to have them interact with your product at the show. And if you have a media kit that they want to take, or at least a business card for your influencer marketing team or your social media person, that's always an added plus. But just creating an experience at your booth where they're able to interact with your product while speaking directly to their audience, because again, they're there capturing content and sharing products in real time with their audience, I think is a great way and very easy way to, and a low budget way to interact with influencers at the show.
That's awesome. You know, the other thing is, I've noticed like a lot of pet brands don't even know that there's a press room. Can brands go in there and hang out and try to recruit reporters and influencers?
I highly suggest stopping by the media lounge. One opportunity that we have is we have these display bins where exhibitors can drop off media kits at the media lounge. And so media will come to the lounge to check in at the show, pick up their badge, and then they'll take a look at these media kits and often grab them on their way to the floor so they can get a sense of kind of what's out there before they even start walking down the show floor. So that's another really great tangible way to get your product or your brand in front of media before they've even entered the show floor itself.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, we're going to take another quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more with Corey about pet PR and the American Pet Products Association.
Spanning the planet. Spanning the planet. You've landed at the Pet Entertainment Center of the Universe. Alert the paparazzi. This is Pet Life Radio, the ultimate animal adventure. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Corey again. So, Corey, tell us about what are some things that you think brands can do throughout the year, in fact, to prepare for an exhibit at Global Pet Expo?
Yeah, I think in terms of the PR, their outreach can start even now going into the holidays. My biggest tip is if there's influencers or media that you want to see at the show and you're launching a new product or you've got a great story that's going to be coming out, while we're doing all of our outreach and pitching and media invites, there's great value in brands doing that themselves too. So if there's someone that they want to see at the show, that pre-show outreach is invaluable. So if there's an influencer that you want to meet, reaching out on social media ahead of the show and inviting them and making sure they know how to register is a great way to make sure that you're getting the engagement that you want at the event itself. And so that pre-show media outreach is really invaluable. We also offer several opportunities to promote any product launches that you have at the show. We've got the new product media guide, and then we've also got a pitch opportunity where brands can write a short pitch that we share with registered media and influencers about either stopping by their booth or coming to visit and view a new product, or if you're having an event at your booth, that's a great way to pitch to media attending the show as well. And that's all really part that you could integrate into your PR strategy going into Global Pet Expo.
Okay. So I see a lot of small pet brands and, you know, it can be kind of intimidating to see you've got the Purinas, the Mars, they have the huge, you know, half a football field size booth and that sort of thing. And you're this little tiny pet company that's just, you know, launching a new litter scoop. How do you get over that fear? Like, you know, if you're kind of shy and you're kind of like, do you have any advice for the people that just feel overwhelmed and maybe, you know, kind of lack that self-confidence?
I think authenticity goes a long way in 2025. I think outside of just being physically present at your booth, also making sure that you have a digital presence at the show can really help grab attention of people that are walking the show floor, especially when you're talking about media and influencers. So I find even some of the smallest booths have been so successful when they're also at the same time maybe posting fun content about their booth on social media. So maybe talking one among the people is a little more challenging, but maybe creating some sort of fun video for social media to show what's going on and what's exciting at your booth can help at least drive some engagement to people who maybe aren't laying eyes at your booth and they're walking around, but they're on the opposite end of the show floor. They see your folk posting a fun video at your booth and are really excited to see kind of what's going on there, what the product is. So I think making sure you have more of a 360 approach to your presence at the show is a great way to create your own buzz about your booth outside of just your physical presence.
So you really need to know, like, to get the right hashtag, right? So they show up. What is typically the hashtag that you guys use where people can see all of that?
Hashtag Global Pet Expo every year is just the way to go. But I think also just it's three really concentrated days of excitement. And so making sure that you're engaging with the feed on social media will help get your content in front of other people that are also engaging with Global Pet Expo on social media. So I think having that added digital presence when you're at the show physically is a great way to create more buzz for your brand.
So another thing I've noticed, Corey, is that sometimes, and I see this a lot with the overseas exhibitors, they just sit at their booths and they're on their phones and they're not even looking up when people walk by, right? And it's like, you're paying all this money to be there. Get out there and nobody's going to come to your booth if you don't engage. And I find that to be the case with especially the Chinese exhibitors. And I don't know if that's because there's a language barrier or something, but they're always like just on their phones. They don't even look up when you. And so that's a big lesson, like get out there and engage. And I also found like the ones that are on are kind of in the corner booths and they're kind of standing in the aisles. Like you need to get people into your booth. Now, do you think having like happy hours and like an event or a press conference, do you think that helps create buzz in your booth?
Definitely. I think that scheduling an event, especially based off of like who your audience is, like if it's a media event and you want to show a product demonstration, I think that's a really great way to get a concentrated group of people at your booth and get more traffic at your booth. But I also think really focusing on, as you said, engagement is really important when you're standing in your booth. Really focusing on training ahead of the show to make sure that your team feels confident and empowered and able to engage with people, and also knows what to do when there might be a lull and how to handle that and how to still have a presence that invites people while you're kind of managing sometimes the ebbs and flows of traffic. And so there's a lot of value in that kind of training as well.
And Toby, I might be wrong on this, but there are resources on the APPA's dashboard when you sign up to exhibit, like how to write a press release and that sort of thing. Am I correct?
So we have a PR guide that will help you with how to write a media pitch, how to write a press release, some suggestions on PR strategies you can implement at the show. And we also have an exhibitor resource center for first-time exhibitors that provides them with materials from anywhere on, you know, how to properly budget for your exhibit, how to empower your sales team to manage your booth confidently. So there's a whole range of resources that can really help exhibitors with their planning and strategy for their show.
What about networking and some of the events that are traditionally held every year at your event?
My biggest tip is if you can get there, you should go. I think there's always value in attending a networking event. We've got different education opportunities. So we've got some more intimate settings where you can meet people. And we've got the larger events like the Unleashed Party as well. And so my biggest tip is especially, you know, not just for your brand, but for your own personal development, is just to get yourself out there and just talk to people. That's the only way you're gonna be able to network successfully. Just start talking.
Yeah. So what's in store for this year's Global Pet? Can you give us some hints or some a little preview?
So we've got some exciting new developments this year. My personal favorite is the Global Pet Fluence Studio, which is really going to highlight the benefits of creator marketing, influencer marketing. I can't reveal too much yet, but it's going to be a really exciting new space that I'm really excited for both brands and influencers to be able to leverage on the show floor.
And what about the Pet Summit? Is that happening this year too?
That's happening as well. We are, if we haven't yet already, we'll be launching the call for speakers soon. So anyone who's interested in speaking at the event, definitely keep an eye out for that announcement. We've got some exciting changes in some of the programming and more will be revealed in the coming weeks.
Wow. Well, we're really excited. Mark goes every year. Mark, how many Global Pets have you been to?
Our first one was in 2010. So 15 years. Yeah. We're one of the OGs.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, Global Pet is definitely something that you have to go to if you're in the pet industry. So I have a question everybody wants to know. Is Global Pet different than Super Zoo? And also, which show is bigger? There's always been a debate about that.
So off the top of my head, I don't know in terms of size of square footage of Super Zoo, but we've hit 20,000 in attendance at Global Pet Expo this year, expecting 22,000 plus at 2026, which is really exciting growth. We're finding that not only, you know, we've got a strong retailer presence, our influencer presence, and our media presence has grown drastically over the last few years, but also more brands are bringing more of their team at the show. So you're really getting a wide variety of types of people in the industry to network with. So I think that there's a lot of great opportunity to not only as a brand network with retailers, but also network with other marketers that work for other pet brands. And I think having just a wider variety of types of professionals at the show is what makes Global Pet Expo very unique.
So I have also heard like Global Pet has more of the international audience. Am I correct on that?
We have, I don't off the top of my head, it's I think it was like 87 countries in attendance this past year, I believe. I'd have to go back and check. But we've got a fantastic international presence, which we're really always really excited to see how that unfolds year to year.
Wow. And you know, a lot of people think APPA might be based in Orlando, but that's just because Orlando has a huge convention center that can handle that many people, correct?
Yes, that is the only space that can fit us at the moment. So that's why we're in Orlando. But our offices are actually in Connecticut, which many people don't know. Some of our team is hybrid, and then we've got our team is scattered throughout the country. We've got some staff in Florida. We've got some on the West Coast. We have someone in Colorado. We've got people all over. So we have multiple time zones working to make Global Pet Expo happen every year.
Wow. So in your PR job, besides Global Pet, is that what your job is solely focused on, or are you heading up the research too?
So I'm also overseeing APPA's PR as in terms of elevating our research and our pet ownership data throughout the year. We also work with opportunities to elevate our members' products throughout the year. And then I'm also leading all of the marketing for our research products and really having a hand in the product development and what the products look like for our members, making sure that we're creating things that really have value and deliver results for our members.
So those that are maybe on the fence about joining the APPA, all the startups out there, it is a hefty investment. But, you know, can you tell people why it is worth it to join the APPA?
Yeah, we actually have a new and really great startup program. So what that includes right now is a basic tier membership exhibiting in the Startup Pavilion at Global Pet Expo. And that basic membership includes all of our basic membership tier products. And so you get a really robust opportunity for your investment for that first year that could really benefit a startup business. So we're really trying to find programs that support smaller businesses trying to get their foot in the door. And so I think it's a great first year investment for small businesses and startups to get their presence out there. We have a great membership team who's really hands-on with our startups that could really help, really hands-on and personal relationships with our team as well. And so, you know, people think we're this big show, but we're not actually that big of a team. I think we've got about 30 people, and we're all very heavily involved in the success of our members. That is what drives us to do what we do every day. And so I think knowing that you've got a small team behind you really pushing for your success in the industry is what really sets us apart from maybe other associations.
And you know, the APPA is always looking for those positive stories. So if a pet brand startup out there has something really cool to share, they should share it with you, correct?
Absolutely. We actually have opportunities for members to share with our team, aka me, about exciting news and stories that are happening throughout the year, whether it's a new product launch or maybe a new initiative or a new partnership that they're starting. So my suggestion is always reach out to me, and I can definitely make recommendations on how we can help you elevate your stories and kind of what you're doing throughout the year.
All right. So we've got to ask you this. How can people get a hold of you, and what's the best way to contact you?
Absolutely. I'm very active on LinkedIn, so that's always one way. But they can also always send me an email. It's Cori, C-O-R-I, at AmericanPetProducts.org.
Well, thank you so much, Cori. I really wanted you on to give, you know, the struggling pet startup there, you know, some hope and glimmer. You know, you may not be able to hire a PR firm or whatever. And I get it, right? Like, you got to be scrappy when you're starting out. And you just gave some wonderful information for people out there who are just overwhelmed. But don't forget the PR and marketing, because if people don't know about your product, they're not going to buy it, right?
Exactly. And this is why I love what I do, is making sure that everyone has an opportunity to get their product, their story out there. Because at the end of the day, we all just love our pets and we want things out there that make their lives better. So that's the exciting part about my job. So that's what I'm here for.
That's so awesome. Well, that is a wrap for this show. We're so excited to be doing this for all of you out there who are making life better for animals. you have a question you would like us to answer, reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook under Whisker Media, or you can just reach out to Corey as well. And we'll try to answer it in a future podcast episode. So, as we always say, bark loud and purr smart. Bye, everyone. See you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.